Craig Bassett and Gary Ellerson with you. It's a Pottawatomie Sportsbook Football Monday from the beautiful Pottawatomie Sportsbook and the countdown to Monday Night Football here on ESPN. 26 minutes away from Travis Kelce and the Chiefs taking on Derek Carr and the New Orleans Saints. Rounding out week 5 of the NFL. Jason Wilde can be heard 9 to noon. Weekdays alongside Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. Hello, Wilde.
Hello, guys. How are you tonight?
You're doing great. So we're trying to make sense of the Romeo Doubs situation, and I know you're in with Matt LaFleur in his press conference a little earlier, this afternoon. We're trying to make sense of it. Jason, how well will this go over in the locker room? Because on one side, you could look at it and say, dude just gave up on his team before a road trip out to California, and the Packers were able to come away with a win. On the other side, Gary believes that players will put their arm around him and say, it's all right, let's go. Hey, we're in this thing together. How do you think, with your knowledge of the locker room, this will play out in the room and the locker room altogether?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they will do the right thing as teammates and, like Gary says, put their arm around him and say, hey, all right, let's get back at it. But I also think that Romeo Doubs has some work to do, right? I mean, it just because they welcome you back and tell you that doesn't mean that they trust you now to be there when they need you. You chose yourself and your frustration over the team. And guys don't just wipe that off right away. They may put their arm around him and welcome him back, but I think he's got some repair work to do, just like Jair Alexander last year. Now, quite frankly, I thought, you know, Jair Alexander at least had some really what I thought were strong allies in the locker room, you know, guys like Keyshawn Nixon, Eric Stokes, etc. So, you know, while they and he didn't do something that left them without his services, right? He certainly did something selfish and knuckleheaded by appointing himself a captain, but he didn't abandon his team. And so I do think Romeo has some work to do. But again, the way you started this, you know, I was only half kidding. Like, trying to make sense of it, I just think that's a fruitless endeavor because it doesn't make sense. I understand players being frustrated. I do, but his situation, I just don't see how it merited the extreme action that he chose to take. Maybe Gary can help me understand that, but, you know, I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. But I feel like when you have these kind of dust-ups, and especially when it happened the way it happened with him, and I was explaining to Greg, there had to be something – along the line, maybe even last year or a week or two ago, where he didn't either say anything to anybody or someone in the building, they missed it, and then it just kind of came out, because it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, he's going home to where he's got to probably buy at least 30 tickets for people to come watch him play. It just doesn't add up. And I know I'm this way, Jason, is that sometimes I don't say things to people when I should say things to them, and it fester and it builds up. Then all of a sudden they do something like really, really stupid, and I like go off. But that's not really why I should be going off. I should have been going off the stuff that they did like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then I do something really stupid, and then like it just doesn't make sense to anybody. So I don't think this just happened last week. I think something happened leading up to this, and this is what you got.
Yeah. Yeah, first of all, if there's anything that's building up with you regarding me, let me know now so I'm prepared for when you get after me, because we're on great terms. I would hate to do anything to jeopardize that.
I
want to be very – I feel like I've been saying this a lot, but it's true. I want to be very responsible and respectful when I talk about this, because I don't,
yes,
you know, that old saying about you don't know what's going on with people behind the scenes.
Correct.
I always try to live by that. If it's the, you know, the clerk at Quick Trip is rude to me, I try to think, well, maybe she's got something going on that I don't know about, right? And so I apply that to Romeo Doubs. I do think this, he is, at least in my interactions with him, and maybe it's been different with his teammates or his coaches, but he is a very inward guy. Like, he's a little bit introverted. He's quiet. You know, that old saying about still waters running deep. But I do think it's important to add this context. And if you remember last year in training camp, because I made a big deal out of this, and I reached out to the former quarterback immediately when he said this, the quote that he said was, you know, I learned a lot from Aaron Rodgers, even though he barely spoke to me.
Yeah, I remember
that. And, you know, I reached out. I said, look, Aaron, I just want you to know this. This is going to be a story. And he, without giving away too much of our private conversation, he was not pleased to hear that. Like, he felt like he had reached out and sat and had lunch with him multiple times and other things, probably given him more attention than maybe he gave other guys in 2022. But at the same time, you know, I think he recognized, and my point to him, not that I'm the expert on all these things or leadership, but like my point to him was, if Romeo doesn't feel like you did enough, then doesn't that mean you didn't do enough? Like, that's the part of the, that's the burden of leadership, right? And so his point was that he thought that Romeo was maybe sensitive. And I can totally see that, right? And so maybe that is part of it. I also would say this, going back to Amari Rodgers, and quite frankly, if I was a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, like, they'd obviously, their depth chart would be in very dire straits. But I don't think during the Rodgers regime, I would have handled his leadership style especially well. For me, I am always going to do my best for my guys, and that goes for our team. That goes for my friends. I'm extremely loyal. But if you chew me out, that is not the way to get me motivated to do more. Like, for me, my personality is, you know, I need you to ask for more from me. I know how good you can be, Jason. I need more from you. Or I was really disappointed in your effort. I know you're better than that. Like, those are the kinds of things. I mean, I could discuss that with my therapist if I ever get one. But the point is that that's the kind of different motivation for different guys. And I wonder if Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, like it was with Amari Rodgers, I wonder if there was some of that with Romeo Doubs that, I don't want to say he broke him because that's too strong, but I wonder if there's some, still some kind of buildup from his time with Rodgers that maybe scarred him a little bit.
That's a really interesting point. You know, the other thing Gary and I mentioned, I think the Amari Rodgers discussion is really interesting. But on the other side of Aaron chewing out Amari was Devontae Adams saying, it's okay, here's how we do this together. What Romeo doesn't really have is that. Or who is that person, Jason? Because Romeo is like, he's like the vet of the whole group. And when Christian Watson is on the other side a couple weeks ago saying, I don't care if I catch one ball or none, I'll block all day as long as we get a win. Right? I mean, it's, you talk about a contrast here, but who's the dude to put the arm around Rome and say, it's going to be fine? No, come to me with this stuff. We'll work it out together.
Yeah, they don't have one. I mean, that's the reality, right? Like, I guess it's Jordan Love. And I think Jordan's really good at that softer touch. And I also want to clarify something. I don't want to, that, after I got done saying all that, I kind of felt like maybe that gave him a free pass. And I did, definitely do not want to do that. Like, I don't want to make excuses for him. I'm just trying to understand him, right? Because as we've discussed, and I know you guys have as well, given the situation, his extreme choice of action, which was to not show up for work, makes no sense. And so I think we're all trying to understand, well, why would he do this? Because it's not like he had played four games in a row with Love and gotten like three targets. Like, it's not that scenario. So it just didn't make sense. And so, you know, he is responsible for his choices and his behavior. Doesn't matter how if it's Aaron Rodgers and how he made him feel, or Matt LaFleur chewed him out, or whatever it was that might have been the tipping point. That doesn't matter. Like, ultimately, he still chose, and chose poorly when he decided how to deal with this.
No, I would totally agree with that. It just didn't come up. It wasn't a good look. I want to move off that a little bit and get to the game against the Rams. And when I came away looking at that game after it was over, I still felt a little uneasy about how it transpired. I wasn't overly joyed, but I said to myself, a win's a win, but there's a lot of things that they have to clean up if they're looking to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, it wasn't a quality win, right? Like, this wasn't beating one of the top contenders in the NFC and doing it handily. This was facing a now 1-4 team that has a really good coach and a really good scheme and a really good veteran quarterback, but neither of their top two wide receivers, who are all pro level players, right, and Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, after what Nacua did last year, without 60% of their preferred starters on the offensive line, like, for the like, we look at their defense and say, oh, their defense played well, and they did. They did. They should have. And then when we look at the quarterback play, and you know, I know this is getting redundant, but, like, he's not – Jordan Love is not a finished product as a franchise quarterback yet. He is still in the developmental process. He is – right now he is a good NFL quarterback who clearly has the talent and the ability to be a fantastic franchise NFL quarterback. But he's only in his second year of starting, and there are going to be fits and starts and ups and downs and growing pains and bad decisions. And whether it was the Farvian up-for-grabs throw to Wicks for the third interception against the Vikings, or it was that very Farvesque falling out of bounds after getting hit and underhanding the ball, it worked a lot better in, like, Seattle in 96 when he flipped it to Freeman for a touchdown than flipping it out, trying to flip it out of bounds and instead into the waiting arms of a defender. I mean, that, you just, he knows you can't do that. Matt LaFleur has certainly made it clear you can't do that, but he did it anyway. It was a good idea. And so, do I think he's still going to be making those mistakes like he has the last 2 weeks? No, but I think there's going to be a few more of those before the season's over. Like, the problem that we probably have is we thought he was past a lot of the growing pains that young quarterbacks experience, and that's our fault. We should have known better that as good as he is, there were still going to be those moments. And I recognize that I had reached that point prematurely with the throw he made in San Francisco. Like, that last interception on first down against his body over the middle late in the triple coverage. Like, I thought he was better than that, but that's the kind of mistake that a lot of young quarterbacks make. And so I shouldn't have thought that he was beyond that already.
57.5 completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 5 picks indicates the sloppiness that you're talking about. And you know, they'll be healthier, and, you know, Romeo will be off suspension, so hopefully they'll get a full complement of receivers back, too. The play that stood out most to me, Jason, the play that it sort of made me, you know, hold my breath and then exhale, was a scramble on 3rd and 12. That was the first time I really saw him step up and move with purpose to try and accomplish something, knowing that he's probably going to take a hit at somewhere. Did it, and I don't know how big that was to him. But for those who aren't in the mind and body of Jordan Love, fans watching, beat writers, reporters, anybody, that had to be a telling play to some level. That, to me, was like, okay, I think he is fine now. I think he is beyond the knee. He's not thinking about it anymore.
Yeah, I agree. But I would also add that he still needs to be smarter and slide, right? Like, yeah. I think there's a lot of – it's great, and I would praise him for that part of it. But on the flip side and I was talking about this, I can't remember if it was with Tausch or maybe it was Gary with you and Homer after the game, but, like, you know, when Aaron Rodgers did that in 2010 and suffered the concussion in Detroit, he could have cost his team, who wound up winning a Super Bowl, a chance to even get there. Like, DeSean Jackson, it was with you at Homer, Gary, now that I think about it. DeSean Jackson, with that punt return for the Eagles to keep the Packers alive, like, if that doesn't happen, him getting a concussion and losing a very winnable Lions game and then losing the next week despite Matt Flynn playing well would have cost them a playoff berth. We would have never seen the Super Bowl run that gets them their first title since 96. And so my point is that you never know what that play might mean, and it's great that he showed that he had confidence in his knee. It's great that he did not suffer an injury, but Homer was getting after him after the game, and I'm Team Homer on that. You are too valuable to risk it, even on 3rd and 12. So I agree with everything you said, Greg, about what it meant, but it was a risk that that's another example, though, and you saw it with Rodgers. There was the development of that. Hey, I am too important to this team to take that chance. And that is another step in the development of a franchise quarterback.
Packers return to Lambeau in week 6. They'll take on the Arizona Cardinals, who earned a win over the 49ers yesterday. That was a pretty impressive game as well in San Francisco. ESPN's Jason Wilde, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Appreciate it, Wilde. We'll check it again next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Yep, you did the same. Yeah, I remember the play against Atlanta last year where Jordan Love did the same thing, right? And we got to have this. He scrambled out. He lowered the boom on a safety on the sideline. And Matt LaFleur said after the game, we don't want to be doing that.
What are you doing, dude?
Fired up his team.
Yeah.
Right? This dude's playing for us. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Right? Risk reward. Totally understand. From a how is his knee standpoint, that one play definitely told me a lot.
Yeah.
6:51 here on ESPN at Milwaukee. We'll step aside here, wrap up the first hour. Lots to get to here coming up in hour number two. I also want to look at the play of Xavier McKinney. Four years, $67 million.
Woo!
Doesn't seem like enough, does it?
They didn't pay him enough.
More after this.